Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we are visiting with Dustin McClone. And Dustin, he's kind of a little bit of an unusual guest in that Dustin is an insurance broker. So you may want to be asking yourselves, okay, Diva, why are you bringing an insurance broker onto a wastewater podcast? Well, I'm glad you asked. Dustin has a really unique podcast and also kind of a mindset and methodology for business that I wanted him to come on and share called The Hustle Mindset. And what he has to offer really can apply to whether you're an entrepreneur, contractor, manufacturer, or an intrapreneur or a supervisor working at a utility. So what he has to share really crosses all of the facets of the audience for the podcast. And with that, I'm going to introduce him and ask Dustin, tell us a little bit about your background and kind of lay the groundwork for what brought this hustle mindset to life.
For sure. Well, thank you for having me, Suzanne. I'm excited. That's a great setup. Why does anyone want to hear from an insurance guy? So we won't talk really insurance today, but so a little bit about my background. So, today I'm president CEO of McClone Insurance. We're a top 1% insurance broker. I'm a big volunteer for a lot of nonprofits. I'm a director for a $8 billion publicly traded bank, husband, father of two, and also as a youth basketball coach for quite some time. And so, I share that really just from a mindset of, I've been there, like probably so many of your listeners, where you have more things coming at you than you can possibly imagine. And, how do you really structure that? And, you have goals and desires to accomplish more. And so what does that look like? And so, back in about 5-6 years ago, actually almost 6 or 7 years ago now, I was in a kind of a unique spot. I was, sitting and having lunch with my wife. And so she actually is a youth basketball coach as well. And as we were kind of talking, I had recently taken over as CEO of our company, which, we were a very good company, but in many ways we had kind of gotten stagnant. And so we were having this interesting conversation about how do we get more out of our youth basketball team and how do we get, more out of this company? And, all of a sudden it just kind of was a light bulb went on where it was really hustle, right? Like what if we could get our kids to hustle, right? What if we could get the team to hustle? And so we started talking about that and it was kind of this light bulb. I started to really kind of dig into and frankly, even experiment with the youth basketball team about what that meant. So, for any of your listeners, if you've ever been to a youth sports game, you hear all these parents yelling at the kids, hustle, 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 hustle. And all the kids are like looking back saying, I thought I was. What are you talking about? Right. And the reason for that is because, hustle does mean a little something different to everyone. Now, most people kind of know it when they see it, right? But it's really not until we define what those behaviors are of hustle that teams and individuals and even ourselves can learn to follow it, right? So if I use basketball as an example, if you're running down the court, you're diving for the ball, you're doing the little details, right? Those are actually the behaviors that make hustle. And so, hustle really came from that. So hustle actually is an acronym, which I can get into here in a little bit, but it, it really is all about its behaviors that, you know, super successful people have followed. And the reason it's kind of built into a framework is because then we all can use it a bit as our North Star, right? And so, you know, even for myself, ultimately, I kind of put this together and built this, but I still go back to it because as humans, we lie to ourselves a lot of times with what we think we're doing or not doing. And so having that framework to continue to come back to, you know, has allowed now myself, you know, our team, and, you know, leaders across the country to basically get hustle to spread in their organizations. Because, you know, one of the other things that I thought was really interesting about hustle, and again, I learned all this in youth basketball, like we apply it to business now, but, you know, hustle is contagious. So, you know, similar to like a mindset, you know, if you see someone else hustle, you're more likely to do it. And the people around them are more likely to do it. And so when I really started this, this wasn't actually meant to be external at all. This was actually just meant for my youth basketball team and our team and our company. But as I started talking about it and sharing it with other people, there was just a lot of people that raised their hand and said, well, what does that mean? You know, because again, hustle can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And then it's really just kind of taken off from there. And, you know, now we have our Hustle Nation podcast and our Hustle Leaders coaching and training program, things like that. So it's kind of spread from that, but it wasn't really meant to be that. It was really just meant to, you know, how could I get, you know, our own teams to learn what hustle means, what are the behaviors that is, and then how do we make that contagious? Because, you know, my belief was always, you know, the teams that hustle will always outperform better skilled teams. And that same with individuals.
Ooh, okay. That was an interesting observation. So that it's the mindset and the energy can often beat skill.
100%.
Okay. Explain that. And then I really want, you got my interest peaked when you said about hustle is an acronym. Let's go through that. And then, you know, tell me how you came to that outbeating skill.
So the example I give is if you look in sports is a really good way for us to see it. There are, you know, dream teams that are built year in and year out in basketball and, you know, sometimes baseball and other sports that don't win the championship. And the reason being is because just having a really good skilled group of people, if they're not working together, they're not collaborating, they're not following the behaviors, they're not going to perform as well. And so to me, the point of why I think those teams that hustle will always outperform, you know, frankly, even sometimes better skilled teams, is just because they have that energy. And what we also see is over time, the teams that hustle end up actually having better skill, right? Because they're working at their craft. But that's this, you know, the secret weapon in many ways to a lot of organizations. And how do they outperform what they thought they otherwise could do? But to your question about what hustle stands for. So, you know, really the starting point of hustle, everything I'm going to share, it really starts with having clarity of your vision though. So, you know, I think a lot of times some people have a very negative view of the word hustle. You know, they associate hustle with burnout, and that's not the intention. You know, the idea is hustle can be applied to absolutely anything in life that you want to accomplish. So, you know, as an example, you got to start with what is your vision of who you are and who you want to be in all facets of your life. So, you know, as an example, if you just applied hustle to work, but, you know, like I'll use myself as an example, but if I was then an awful husband and an awful father and, you know, nothing to the community, and well, that maybe that's okay. Maybe that's what I want to be. But if it's not what I want to be, then that's not really effective. And it's clearly not what I want to be. So, you know, the idea is hustle can be applied in every kind of life category, but you have to start by understanding what that is for you. You know, how do you define success for yourself? Cause it is truly different for everyone else. But then once you've defined that, that's really when kind of hustle bleeds in. So the, hustle stands for hard work, unrelenting, smarter, not just harder, take chances, learn from others, and enjoy the process. And so the idea is they all build upon each other. So I'll start with H, with hard work. So if you look at so many individuals, there's so many people in life that claim that they're working hard, right? And yet some others might look at them and say, are you kidding me? how do you call that working hard, right? You're not, that's not even close. Well, and the reason being is because it's similar in that until you define what that is, a lot of people think they're working hard because they're just maybe inexperienced or they just haven't seen a model that really redefines that for them. So to me, hard work really has three different categories. So it's you put the hours in, your pace of play, and then prioritization. So I'll use like the put the hours in as an example. If you use like your core occupation, right? Like the core thing you want to do, you know, how many hours is putting in is considered hard work, right? Well, that's going to vary by different people. But the challenge is a lot of times as humans, we lie to ourselves. So I'll give you an example. You know, there's call it a badge of honor, so to speak, where if you're really wanting to crank it in your core occupation, you know, 60 hours a week in a lot of ways is kind of like a watermark that people talk about, right? And so if you look at in the US, what percentage of people do you think say that they work 60 plus hours more a week? What would you guess?
At least 60%.
Okay, so not quite that high, but about 38% say they do. Okay, and what's crazy about it is when they actually figure out how many actually do, 3.4% actually do. So it's we lie to ourselves 10 times over about, you know, basically what you know, what time we're putting in. And that doesn't mean necessarily we're liars. It's just what I've seen in talking with a lot of leaders, they've never done the math. You know, when you talk to people about if you work 60 hours a week, it's like, well, I mean, yeah, I do. Well, when do you get in? When do you leave? Do you work ever on the weekends? Well, no, I never work on the weekends. That's my time to relax. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, this isn't meant to say you have to work 60 hours a week, but you know, the idea being is something as simple as, you know, we've seen for a lot of successful people, they check themselves as to, you know, how many hours a week do they really work, right? And again, if it's maybe it's a side hustle, maybe it's your family, but whatever it is, it's not so much just the hours, but certainly that's mm-hmm. that's a key starting right. point. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's kind of step one, so to speak. So that's the hard work, and then or the put the hours in. But then you know, it's funny, you just learn these things over time. So I'm sure many people that are listening, you've seen people that maybe show up to work and are there all day, get their early, leave late. But when they're there, they're just not very productive, right? You know, these could be the water cooler people. It could be, you know, things like that, right? And I refer to it as pace of play. You know, if you've ever, you know, golfed, right? There's somebody following you along, basically saying, hey, speed up, speed up, speed up. And, you know, you could put all the hours in the world, but if you're just kind of sitting around, you know, one of the examples I give is when I was younger, I actually worked at an auto dealer. And if you work at an auto dealer on a rainy day, especially 15 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot going on, no. You know, because people weren't buying a car in the rain. And to me, it was really the difference where you saw kind of the average versus those that really broke through, because the average, you know, that time it was Solitaire and, you know, Minesweep, I think it was, you know, on your computer. And that's what they would be doing because nobody was walking in, nobody was buying a car. They didn't have anything to do, but the top performers, they use that as an opportunity. They were calling former clients. They were calling, you know, people that didn't buy a car from them. Right. And they were kind of finding ways to kind of fill their pipeline. And so the point being is they looked at that as an opportunity to advance themselves, not as an opportunity just to kind of sit around and wait for the next thing. Right. So, and then the third thing is prioritization. So if you look at, you could work your tail off, put in a ton of hours, you could be cranking the whole time. But if you're not focusing on the things that matter, then it doesn't really matter. So, you know, as an example, let's imagine I decided I was going to mow a huge farm field. Well, if I'm going to mow a huge farm field and I decide to do it like a push, you know, manual mower, I'm working really hard. It's going to be a heck of a workout. You know, I might be going really fast. But is that really the most effective way for me to do it? Absolutely not. Right.
I can, yep.
You know, somebody with a machine could do it in half an hour. I'm going to spend 4 days doing it. So, so the idea is, and everything from hustle kind of builds from that. Right. So, you know, if you're not working hard, as I've seen, if you talk to any successful people, nobody has ever gotten anything done without working their absolute tail off. And so, you know, a lot of people look at these, what I call, you know, quote unquote, overnight successes. But then you talk to these people and you're like, man, you were an overnight success. They're like, yeah, I've been doing it for 15 years. It's like, yeah, that's, and you just hear it so consistently. And so the starting point is that hard work. And then, you know, it builds from there. So, you know, the unrelenting, you know, I won't get into a lot of the detail, but you know, it's about never giving up. Smarter, not just harder, is an interesting one. You know, if you've heard the quote, you know, people work smarter, not harder. To me, the reason I say not just harder, it's intentional, is because I've seen so many success or kind of average people versus successful, right? Average people work smarter, so they don't need to work harder, so they can go sit on a beach somewhere.
There you go.
The most successful people work smarter, so they can work faster towards achieving their goals, right? And again, it doesn't have to all be business, right? They work smarter because they want to make sure they get to their kids' t-ball game. They work smarter because they want to give back to the community. They work smarter because they want to do this other thing, right? So it's not just working smarter always to just spend six more hours at work, but it's about working smarter to focus on the things that really matter to you.
That makes sense, because I read an interesting quote on a daily inspirational reader and said, no one on their deathbed ever says or thinks, gee, I wish I had spent more time at the office.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And the idea being is, but a lot of times we get lost in that. Right.
Yeah. And absolutely.
You know, my view is, you know, a lot of times people will talk about kind of work-life balance and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, I think it's the challenge with that statement. And a lot of people have been talking about this, is balance means they're opposing forces. You know, balance means it's one for the other. You know, it's really when you can get them to meld together that it works, right? So, you know, as an example,
I like that.
If you know, me as a father, right? Like, I want to be around my kids. I want to, you know, I want to be present. I want to be there for them, but I also want to be a role model. And if all I ever did was just take time off of work and never really showed them what it took to be successful in business, right? Well, then that wouldn't be really filling my role for my kids. Right. And so, you know, they don't need to, but at the same point, if all I ever did was miss everything that they ever did and was never around for them, because all that I was focused on was work, well, that wouldn't be good either. But so it's really about finding how those things balance for you that allows you to move all of your goals forward. It doesn't need to be, I'm giving up this for that. You know, it's, well, you know what? I want to be there for my kids' t-ball game. So I want to commit to that, but I also want to achieve this at work. Well, you know what that means? Maybe I spend 2 hours less, you know, a week on social media, just scrolling aimlessly. You know, that might be my sacrifice, which, you know, seems small, but I mean, a couple hours a week, you add that up over the year, that you can get a lot done in that time frame.
So now that gets us to the T and the L and the E.
Yeah. So, and the idea being is, I tell everybody, if the H and the U is all you ever did, you could go pretty far, right? If you just work really hard, focusing on the things you want to and never give up, that'll get you pretty far in life. The S, the smarter, not just harder, this is about finding cheat codes, right? Finding ways to get more efficient and effective. T is about taking chances. So, you know, I use the example for me. I kicked off my podcast in November of last year, and that was way outside my comfort zone. That was not something I was planning on doing. You've been doing it for a heck of a lot longer than I have and do an awesome job with it. I that to me was, all right, can I really do this? And this is coming from somebody that I talk all day, every day, right? That's basically my job. So you'd think that would be okay, but you know, you just have to take chances. And I tell you, you know, that's a great example where it's given me back more than I would have ever thought. It's been, I'm sure you've seen the same thing. It's so much fun. You get to talk to some really cool people. You learn a lot. You get exposed to people maybe otherwise wouldn't get exposed to, perspective you wouldn't otherwise get exposed to. But you know, part of hustle is taking chances. If you envision, you know, the new sports game again, right? Sometimes you got to die for the ball. And guess what? You're not always going to get it. Sometimes you're going to die for the ball. You're going to land in the bleachers. You're going to bruise your knee and you wouldn't have even saved the play, right? Like that's going to happen.
Right.
But if you never take chances, you're not hustling, right? You're not, and it's okay. You know, people get so focused on like failure is a bad thing. And I think it's awful. Mm-hmm. You know, failure is a great thing as long as you're learning from it, right? Like we all fail.
So true.
Just fail, learn from it, move forward. I refer to it as fail forward. Fail, learn, fall forward. If you just continue to fail forward, you'd be amazed at how far you can get. So that's the take chances. The learn from others is another great cheat code. You know, and you've done an awesome job with this, your podcast, right? You know, within a very specific industry, getting some really, really smart people to share some really cool insights. A lot of time, you know, we think we got to do this stuff on our own. We don't have to. There's so many smart people out there that are willing to share and willing to, you just got to go out and listen. I mean, in today's world, we have access to more smart people and information at the click of a button than we've ever had in history. You know, and so for someone to not take the proactive step to learn from others and not even just in a passive way, you know, hire a mentor, hire a coach, you know, do different things and your learning curve skyrockets. You know, we look at, you know, our own development a lot of times and we try to do it on the cheap. And, you know, in a lot of cases, mm-hmm. you know, just a couple development things can take somebody a really long way. And then E is enjoy the process. And so the idea of this is you're never going to hustle if you're miserable. You know, it's, you have to, and enjoying the process is not necessarily enjoying the destination. It's enjoying the journey. And so if you look at like the most successful people and, you know, I use athletes as an example, Kobe Bryant, you know, the late Kobe Bryant was, there's endless stories about him with this where, there was one in particular where he was in town and he must have been in Philly and Allen Iverson, who was another star basketball player at the time. You know, they were at night and they're like, all right, what are you going to do? And Allen Iverson said, well, you know, I'm going to go to the club. And Kobe said, well, I'm going to go to the gym. He's like, it's like 10 o'clock at night. Why, you know, why are you going to the gym? And it was because from Kobe's perspective, he so enjoyed the grind. He enjoyed the process of getting better. And that's really why he outperformed people. I mean, he's talked about it all the time. He became one of the most skilled players in history, but it was because he outworked everybody and he had that passion for the journey of getting better. Right. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's really hard to sustain hustle. If you're miserable, if you're doing something you don't enjoy, you're not bought in. Right. And that's where that clarity of vision, that first step, if you don't have that, you'll never get to E. Because at some point along the way, you're going to break down and say, it's just not worth it.
It's that clue that maybe I need to be looking to do something else.
For sure. For sure. You know, and again, as I tell everyone, hustle isn't for everybody. You know, if hustle was easy and everyone just wanted to do it, then everyone would just do it. But what I've seen, what's been cool about it, and I didn't anticipate this, to be honest, there's more people out there that want to hustle than I think I realized. It's just, they get lost along the way. And, you know, I had the good fortune, you know, a lot of what I've learned that kind of built out hustle. I was fortunate because I've had a lot of really good coaches, trainers, consultants that I've worked with over the years that have taught me a lot of different things that I was able to kind of pull it together in this framework. And it was interesting as I started to build out some of this training, I found myself rewatching my own training video and realizing I needed to check myself on some of this stuff, right? I said, man, am I actually putting the hours into this, that, or the other thing, right? And so that's where I talk about that North Star, is because, you know, no matter who you are, we tell ourselves stories, right? And having kind of a framework to go back to and just say, all right, am I putting in the time? Am I focusing on the right things? Am I wasting time on things in my life that aren't really fruitful?
Well, you know, Dustin, I want to thank you for sharing this. This has been great. I love the acronym. I had no idea we would do this much of a deep dive. And I really, really appreciate it, because I think everything that you've shared here can be applied to, you know, whatever field. You know, 100%. It's not, this isn't a principle just for insurance brokers. This is a principle for everybody.
That's exactly right.
I really like it. And so for those of you who would like more information, Dustin, you mentioned you had some, you know, a coaching or where they can find the podcast. Share with the audience, please, how they can learn more about you. Maybe if they're in your area and they need insurance, that too. So how can they get a hold of you and learn more?
Yeah. So a few ways. First of all, LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. It talks about all the different things I'm up to there. You know, McClone Insurance is our insurance brokerage. You know, we're headquartered in Wisconsin, but we work with companies all over the country. Hustle Nation Podcast is our podcast. You know, if you're interested in hustle, that's a great place to start. You know, we talk a lot about it, cool things there. And then hustleleaders.com is really where the training and coaching. And I've been fortunate, actually, when I rolled this out, I partnered with my partner, Chris Byrne. So we actually do the podcast together, and he and I do the hustle leadership stuff together. So that's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. Well, again, thank you so much. And, you know, thank you for joining us today on this episode, this very special episode, I truly believe. And I really hope you got as much out of it as I did today visiting with Dustin. And so until next time, keep it flowing.
Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.